My guest this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is now with the American Enterprise Institute here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on the shuffle at that very job that Mr. Bolton used to have, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, as well as the moving of Susan Rice, the former ambassador, to the position of National Security Advisor. Mr. Bolton, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, glad to be with you. Thanks for having me again.
Well, let's obviously talk about the shuffle. Tom Donilon, the current National Security Advisor, is leaving in July. The president has named, essentially, there's no nomination really required because there's no Senate confirmation required for Susan Rice to be the next National Security Advisor. Given her role in the explanation of Benghazi, this has become a much more controversial appointment than it otherwise would have been. First of all, your thoughts on that decision by the president?
Well, I don't think it comes as a surprise. I think everybody understood that that Susan Rice wanted to be Secretary of State. I think many people, myself included, think that she was eager to jump at the chance to be on the five Sunday morning talk shows that fateful September the 16th, because that would be a good stepping stone to enhance her candidacy to succeed Hillary Clinton after the election in November. And I think when it became clear, as you say, that Benghazi and the talking points and the whole bogus administration excuse that the killings in Benghazi resulted from a demonstration over a Mohammed video got out of control. Once it became clear that was a huge obstacle, Susan Rice was never going to be Secretary of State. You'll recall she even went to the Hill, not nominated for anything, to explain particularly to Republican senators what the circumstances of that talk show appearance was. And actually, I think most people would say she actually lost support in the course of those interviews. So the question then for President Obama was, well, do I leave Susan Rice in New York for the next 4 years? Or, again, as many predicted, if Tom Donilon, the National Security Advisor, departs, isn't this what I give to Susan Rice, National Security Advisor, in effect as a consolation prize? And indeed, with Donilon departing, that's what happened. Now, some people have said this is an act of defiance. I don't really see it as an act of defiance. I think a president should have whomever he wants in his White House. And it's hardly an act of defiance to Republicans when they have no role in the selection of the National Security Advisor. If the president were really wanting to defy the Republicans, he would have nominated her for Secretary of State.
Mr. Ambassador, last word on the Benghazi aspect of this. Do you believe ultimately Susan Rice was just fed a line of talking points she didn't know were false, or she was a willing participant in spreading what she believed was disinformation at the time?
Well, we don't know for certain because we still don't know really where the story about the Mohammed video came from, and all this back and forth about the talking points, that question remains unanswered. My guess is that Hillary Clinton very wisely, from her political perspective, declined to go on the talk shows. Susan Rice was eager to volunteer to help advance her campaign for Secretary of State. The White House thought that Rice would be an excellent person because she didn't know anything about Benghazi. She couldn't possibly make a mistake or reveal something they didn't want to reveal because the only thing she knew was what was in the talking points they gave to her. And like all solutions that are too cute by half, it ends up hurting everybody involved.
So it sounds like you don't have much of a problem with her, given that the president has his prerogative of who's the National Security Advisor. Is there anything from her tenure over the past 4 years that tells you whether she'll be good in that role?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the second Obama term will be like the first Obama term in that all key foreign and defense policy issues are going to be decided at the White House, not at the Defense Department, not at the State Department. And what's interesting about Susan Rice is the knock on her in New York at the UN headquarters is she's always in Washington. And indeed she is, because she's close to the president and has been, I would say, a key advisor of his during the first 4 years, not just being ambassador in New York, but spending so much time in Washington working on issues of concern to the president. So in the position of National Security Advisor, that is a more central position. She will have more operational influence at the White House, but the substance of her advice to the president obviously isn't going to change from the first 4 years. So I don't really see her assuming the National Security Advisor position as having having much impact on the administration's overall policy. At least that's my prediction for what it's worth.
The replacement, and this will require a Senate confirmation, for Ms. Rice at the UN is Samantha Power, longtime confidant to President Obama. She had been on his campaign staff, got into a little bit of trouble back in 2008 with some of the language she used to describe the Clinton campaign, but she's apparently remained close, is now the president's choice for this job. You've certainly been through this process. Based on what you know of her record, what's she likely to run into up on the Hill?
Well, I think her nomination, obviously, given the role of the Senate in the confirmation, is going to be very, very different. I think her view is very radical in a whole range of issues. Some of her public comments she's tried to back away from. But as someone who wrote a lot and spoke a lot in the days before my nomination, I remember how Democratic staffers and their Senate bosses pored over articles and speeches that I read, looking for one thing after another that they wanted to try and highlight. And if Republicans are inclined to do it, there may be even more material in Samantha Power's background than there was in mine. And I think the direction of her views on multilateral diplomacy and the role of the United States, I might say the reduced role of the United States in the world, the increased role of the United Nations. If senators want to inquire at length about it, they certainly will have an opportunity.
And one of the things that certainly came out last week was at one time she favored the use of military forces of the United States in order to implement, I guess, progress towards a Palestinian statehood. What do you know about that?
Well, exactly. She talked about preventing human rights abuses by Israel against the Palestinians, not protecting Israel from terrorist suicide bombers from Hamas and other terrorist groups, but protecting the Palestinians from the Israelis. Now, there was blowback over that comment, and she retracted it. But you know, it's one of these things when you make the mistake in Washington of being candid, and people actually hear what you think. Then, when you say, "Oh, I was misquoted, or I was misconstrued, or I didn't state it as well as I should have," you know, it's probably what you said first that you really believe, and not the retraction. But in any event, that certainly will be something that senators could inquire into at some length, I would think.
Obviously, the ambassador to the United Nations serves at the pleasure of the president. So given what we know of her record, which you have called radical, does that suggest that she's pretty much in lockstep with the Obama administration, or not necessarily?
No, I think definitely, if anything, she's to the left of where the administration has been. I think she will try and push it further to the left. I think her nomination is a symbol of what a president as radical as President Obama himself is. That's the act of defiance to Republicans in the second term, to say, I don't have to face the voters anymore. I'm going to try and move in the direction ideologically. I would have liked to have moved in before 2012, but couldn't or wouldn't do for fear of the political consequences. And since I never have to face the voters again, now I'm going to tell you what I really think.
Mr. Ambassador, you mentioned that if Republican staffers do their diligence, there could be some tough questions for Ms. Power up on Capitol Hill. But in the days after her announcement as the nominee, I certainly got at least one statement from Lindsey Graham saying, well, this is great. She's got a great record, and I think she'll do a good job. So do you get the sense that the Republicans are spoiling for a fight on this?
Well, I think it's probably too early to say. I think the environment is so target-rich in Washington today, with one scandal after another, that some of these nominations may get lost in the shuffle. I think we'll just have to wait and see on that one.
Well, a lot to consider, as you're right. And another State Department story just breaking in the last day or so here. So a lot to consider. Mr. Ambassador, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Glad to be with you again.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.